Thank you, Tim, Shannon, Grant, and everybody else that pulled this off this morning. A lot of work went into doing this, and we thank the Lord that He's given us a day where we could be together again. He has answered our prayers. He loves it when we come together to worship Him. When we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're the body of Christ, and it's a privilege to be here with you today. Thank you to Daniel, Justin. Thank you also for playing. We just pulled it off. God pulled it off through you guys, and thank you for your gifts. Please take your bulletin and your Bible. Open them up to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Austin, sorry, I just caught you wrong. I just see if you're paying attention. This is God's Word. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How many close, dear friends do you have? How many close and dear friends do you have? Now, can you hear me? Better. Thank you. I got my sound monitor back there. That's a good helper. Thank you. You know, I've heard it said that you could take a 1-inch by 1-inch piece of paper, like a little one of those little bitty sticky notes. They're actually 1.5 by 1. But on that paper, you can write down all of the closest friends that you have. And unfortunately, I've also heard that if you think about your whole life, you're probably going to go through your entire life with just having 2 or 3, perhaps, close and dear friends that you can really trust. So, what is a good friend? What is a trusted friend? Well, they know the deep things of your heart. They know the deep things about you. They know your aspirations. They know your failures. They know your disappointments. They know your sins. They know the things you love, right? You can disagree with a good friend, and they're going to still love you and support you. That's what God does for us as Christians. These people know you better than anybody else, and they love you anyway. They know things that you're afraid for other people to know about you. They love you anyway. And they know things about you that you're afraid to admit to yourself, but they love you anyway. With all that in mind, if you're a Christian and I ask you to write down on that 1 by 1 inch piece of paper your dearest friends, you definitely should write Jesus on that piece of paper. And using social media language that most of us are familiar with, texting language, abbreviations and so forth, And as cheesy as it sounds, and as Jesus-y as this sounds, Jesus is your BFF. He's your best friend forever. He truly is. And because Jesus knows everything about you and me, He knows everything about you and me, and He loves us. He knows everything in all the cracks and crevices of our heart. He loves you. He wants to be with you. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants a relationship that's going to grow and be nurtured. He wants you to enjoy His brothers and sisters in the Lord, His body, right? He wants us to do and improve in all these relationships forever. And He's truly our BFF. He's truly our best friend. And because Christ considers you His friend and His brother or sister, because He considers us family, because we are God's children, God shares the deep things of His heart with us. That's what this passage is about. This passage tells us, it hints to us about the deep things of God that He reveals to His children, His friends. And so, what are the deep things of God? What are they? And how do we come to know them? Two things we're talking about this morning. What are the deep things of God? How do we come to know them? Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You again that we can be here to sing about the Gospel, to pray in the Gospel, and to be joined. Our hearts are joined to You and one another. Thank You that You fill us with Your Spirit. I pray that You help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see the truths of Your Scripture, of Your Word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's start with the second question. How do we know? How do we know the deep things of God? Everybody knows the answer to that, right? It's through the Scripture. Right? Through the Scripture. And on over the past few weeks, you know, we haven't been able to meet, and I've been pulling my hair out and trying to figure out, okay, it's more about me than you. You know, my right arm, Grant, gets COVID, and my other right arm, Chip, gets COVID. On and on and on. And all of you folks, lots of people that we love and care about are sick. And, you know, Susan and Catherine get it. We might as well just pack it up, right? We're going to be in bad shape. No offense to Grant and Chip. But it's just been intense, right? So I'm thinking, what do I need to, as a pastor, what do I need to share with the people of Faith Presbyterian Church? And so over the past few weeks online, I've been talking about one of my favorite books, The Abiding Presence. It's by Hugh Martin. He's a Scottish pastor in the 1800s. And this is his thesis. The Bible is the story of Jesus Christ. It's the biography of Jesus Christ. But the Bible is not like any other biography. It is a living biography of the Lord. You know, biographies are usually about dead people. I mean, they don't have to be dead. You can learn a lot from a dead person, right? It can affect your life deeply. But the Bible is about a living person, because at the end of Matthew's account of the Gospel, what does he say? Behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. And in the book of Revelation, he says to John has this vision of heaven. He sees the living Christ. He's afraid, right? When you are in the holiness of, around the holiness of God, the glory of God, you're going to fall down on your knees. That's what happens every time in the Scripture. And just as a good friend does, Jesus puts His hand on John's shoulder and says, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. So there you go again. Jesus living in His Scripture. He is with us in the Scripture. And that's the point Hugh Martin wants us to make. So when we read the Bible, and I've tried, you know, I encourage you to do this. I'm not going to have a show of hands who's done this. I've actually done it probably three or four times since I've asked you to do it. But I try to slow down when I read the Bible. Again, I'm a pastor. I ought to be reading it more than you. I've got more time. You have to work for a living, right? But I slow down. I open it up, Matthew 28, and I look at those words. I look at that paragraph. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now stop. And then I move to Revelation chapter 1, and I read that passage that I just quoted. Behold, I was dead and I'm alive. I'm the first and the last. I was dead, but now I'm alive evermore. And I let Jesus start the conversation from the Scripture with me. And you know, I can tell you that it's what it ought to be happening in your life and in my life. My friendship with Christ has improved when I listen first, right? Good friends are good listeners. And so I'm learning to be a better friend to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, He loves me. He wants to share things with me, the deep things of God. But the Bible also says that the Holy Spirit speaks the Word of God through us. It's a great mystery. Christ speaks and the Holy Spirit brings the words of Christ and makes them alive to our hearts today. The Scriptures are truly a living biography of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is talking about in this passage as he writes about God's secret wisdom, the deep things of God. Look again at verse 7. God's secret wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory. Wow, those are sweet words there. Before time began. And then he goes on in verse 9 to say, the things no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind conceived, things God prepared for those who love Him are revealed to us by the Spirit. He goes on to say, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And here is the good news. The good news is that God, through the Holy Spirit, shares His great secrets with us. He shares His secrets as a friend, one friend to another. Spiritual truth taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truth in spiritual words. And so who wouldn't want to know the deep things of God as God's people? I mean, the things He shares with His children, the things He shares with His friends, right? The Holy Spirit reveals those things to us. And so what are these hidden mysteries that God has destined for our glory before time began? You know, just try to get your head around that. The hidden mysteries, what are they? What are the deep things of God that He shares with His children and with His close friends? I'm going to stop for just a second.
That's hot coffee.
I wonder, why am I drinking hot coffee? Well, Catherine's daddy said you got to get hot with it, right? You got to get the temperature on the outside the same as, or the inside just the same as it is on the outside. Thank you for that interruption. So what are the deep things? Well, in 1 Corinthians, Paul has been talking about the gospel. He's been talking about the cross. And the gospel is packed with tons of those great and secret deep things of God. Again, friends talk about deep things. God moves in our lives and He shares these deep secrets with us. And just on a note right here, this an application, take that to your heart and realize that the Bible is primarily about God sharing His life with you. It's about receiving and believing. Believing and receiving, as one of my friends points out to me all the time, the great things of God. That's what Christianity is mainly about. It's not what I do to please God, and we ought to be concerned about those things, but primarily the Bible is about receiving and believing the secret things of God. And here are those great things that are contained in the gospel. We can't list them all, but these are secret things that God has revealed to you and me. The Holy Spirit teaches us that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He teaches us that we are joined to Christ. He teaches us that we are God's children. He teaches us that we have every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. He teaches us that we are citizens of heaven, citizens and children. And when we pray, we really are entering spiritually into the throne room of the heavenly Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit teaches us that this world is not our home, and we seek a better country. This Holy Spirit teaches us over and over again that Jesus continues to pursue us. It's something that I'm trying to, and Grant, I'm hearing Him do the same thing. I believe the Holy Spirit is leading us as He's teaching us these things, that Jesus pities us when we struggle. Jesus hurts for us as we struggle physically and spiritually, even with our own sin. because Jesus cares for us. And He surely will pursue us all the days of our life. In other words, the Holy Spirit continues to teach you and me about the heart of Christ, that Jesus Christ still pursues us. And those wonderful truths are in the gospel. Those wonderful secrets are in the gospel. We know them and we treasure them. But there's one deep, deep, deep thing about the gospel that Paul alludes to in this passage, what he calls the wisdom of God, verses 7 and 9. Look there again. We speak of God's wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. And then he says, none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I believe that the verb tense there, the rulers of this age, there's a presentness about that. This present evil age from the time of Christ to right now, the rulers of this age still do not, unless God gives them grace, they do not understand the secret things of God. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That happened obviously in the past. But that tendency still happens today. And so the gospel is packed with these deep things of God. I just mentioned some of them. And each of the deep things, each mystery of the gospel, moves us to serve God and to love Him. To love Him and serve Him. Each deep thing, again, clearly shows us that God is first and foremost committed to you and me. He is committed to us through His covenant, with all the promises of the covenant that He's given us. You know, He sent His Son in the world so that we could be forgiven. He sent His Son in the world so we could be justified and adopted as His sons and daughters. Jesus was willing to come into our lives. He was committed to us and you and me, even to death on a cross. We know all those things. We forget them more than we want to admit. But there's one particular aspect of the gospel. There's one thing that is really hidden, that is really a super deep, great mystery that was destined for our glory before the beginning of time. It's a secret about the gospel that Christians struggle getting until God reveals it to them. And I struggle with this all the time. I'm going to tell you what it is. And this secret is vital for your life today and my life today as well. You see, in these verses, Paul is alluding to, he's talking about the problem of evil. The problem of evil. And this is very important information for us, because every day, in some way or another, you and I experience evil on some level every day of our life. Every day. And, you know, Grant and I do the police thing on Tuesday mornings and Thursday mornings. And I want to tell you, sometimes I come out of that room and it's just dark. And I hear the reports of what has happened. And I just, and I'm not going to tell you, I won't share those things with you. But those guys have to live with that stuff every day. That's one reason we're down there, is to encourage them. We are facing evil every day. You know, I looked this up, and this is a true story. In 1965, I remember NBC watching NBC and watching ads for a new television program that was going to come on. I think it started in the summertime. And so, you know, with great anticipation, what is this TV show and what all that stuff. So anyway, and the name of the show was Days of Our Lives. You've heard of it, right? Is it still on? For over 50 years. You remember the theme song? Dun, 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 dun. You don't remember. It's got that schmaltzy, you know, cheesy melody and all that. It's real. But, you know, when they did that show, and, you know, you think, that's what's wrong with Rick. He watched the Days of Our Lives as an 8-year-old. I don't know why we watched that. My mother didn't watch soap operas much, but we watched that one. And I watched the debut of Days of Our Lives. Isn't that something? But you know, I realized over the years, they got the title for that show wrong. They got it wrong. It should have been called The Evil Days of Our Lives. Really. You know why? It's a soap opera. Everybody's lying. Everybody's cheating, right? There's deception everywhere. Right? Full of drama. And we see drama around us every day. We see hard things every day. And people are always asking, or at least they're thinking in their conscience, how can a good and all-powerful God allow all this drama in the world? And God doesn't give us the complete answer to that question, but the gospel gives us enough information to give us hope for the future. And in the gospel, we have enough information to have hope in our lives today. You know, yes, we know that we can be forgiven for our sins in the gospel. God makes that very clear. A lot of people understand that. But here's what we forget. Here's what we forget. And this is what Paul is alluding to in this passage. The cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the cross of Christ and the resurrection, they always go together. The resurrection and the cross are joined. Paul never drives a wedge. He doesn't always mention the resurrection when he talks about the cross, but that's always in here in his mind. And here's what we need to see. Through the resurrection of Christ, yes, God gives us hope that death is not the final word. He promises to raise our bodies from the grave one day, right? He promises to make everything sad, and death is the saddest of the sad things. He promises to make everything sad in our lives come untrue, and because God is just, He's going to keep His promises. He's going to make everything right in the end. He's going to do that, right? We know that. But we forget about the right now-ness of the cross and the resurrection. We forget that. We don't think about how it applies to our lives today. And this is where I'm going with this. Paul says that we have been crucified with Christ. You remember that? And we have been raised with Christ. It's present tense experiential language. And this is what he's saying. He's saying that as we struggle in the present, as we struggle in the daily drama of life, we can experience a resurrected life in this world, this fallen, present, evil age. You know, there's lots of dying. There's lots of trouble. There's lots of tragic things, a lot of tragic things happening around us. But in the midst of this, God's people can experience the very life of God that the people of the world know nothing about. That's what Paul's talking about. Yes, there's drama in life, but because Jesus joins us to Himself in the gospel, His life actually flows in and through us in the midst of suffering. Though we are perishing, we are being renewed inwardly day by day. We learn to depend on Christ more and more. We learn to ask Him for His courage in hard situations. We ask Him to help us to be kind when we simply can't do it. We ask Him for His compassion for others as we struggle in all the drama around us and so forth. And you know what? It takes a long time for us to believe that secret, doesn't it? That deep wisdom of the cross, that God works strength through weakness. But eventually, you start to see that God is with you in the midst of struggles. He's going to show you that. The Holy Spirit is not going to let you go. Jesus won't let you go. He continues to press that home in your heart. And as you understand that truth, as He shares that deep secret with you, guess what? Your friendship with Him will grow and grow and grow, and He will give you joy in the daily drama. In other words, we live like Jesus through dying. One day we will be raised. We really will live in new bodies that are raised by Christ Himself. But the world just doesn't understand that. They do not understand the life of God in the midst of darkness. But that is the secret that God wants us to hear over and over again, because we're surrounded. And again, we live. You know, I feel like Jesus asked me this question. You know, I try to, what is He saying in the Scripture? We talk about the present evil age all the time. It's like He says, Rick, what part of evil, of the present evil age, don't you get, right? It's evil, right? It's days of our lives all the time, right? But God shares that secret with us to comfort us and to show us and remind us that He is with us, and that He is the living one. Though He was dead, He is alive. And He is alive forevermore. So, what do you do? What do I need to do? We do what Jesus said. We ask for the Holy Spirit. And that's not just some woo, right? We go to the Word with the Spirit, and we hear the voice of Christ. We hear the voice of the Spirit talking to us. And as we read the Scripture and listen to the Spirit talk to us, we will realize how sweet, how comforting, how wise, God's word is, even in the midst of all this drama, and you realize that Jesus, it's true, the Holy Spirit, what Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is your comforter. He's your teacher. He's teaching you and equipping you and empowering you to be like Christ. Jesus trusted the Holy Spirit. He had faith in God through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will teach you to live the life that is truly life, even in the midst of suffering. And He will show you, I think this is most important, that in the drama, Jesus is not against you. Just because you're in the TV show, you know, that means that He's put you there for your misery, right? He's for you in the drama. In fact, He turns the days of our lives into the days of His life that He is sharing with us. He is pursuing you all the days of your life. You remember that from Psalm 23. I wonder if that's where they got the title for that goofy soap opera. You know, surely goodness and mercy will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And because Jesus is pursuing us, that means that our days are not like sand through the hourglass, right? So are the days of our lives. Our lives are not like sand seeping away, time just running away with no purpose. Every day has purpose. Every day has meaning. God is using every minute of the drama to conform you and me to the image of Jesus Christ. That is the hope. That is the great hope of the gospel. If Jesus is your best friend forever, He's trustworthy, and He hasn't written your name on a one-by-one sticky. He has written your name and my name in the book of life. And that is the deepest secret that God reveals to us. And that secret moves us to love God, to serve Him, and to love one another. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You that You are with us right now. Thank You that You will use this time to strengthen and comfort and encourage us. Thank You that You use men like Grant and me and all over this county, all over this world, to, sinners though we are, to remind Your people that You love of the great friendship that You have with them through Jesus Christ. I pray You would bless all of us, that You continue to sustain us, and that You would give us Your presence and make us aware of Your presence. Give us a hunger for Your friendship. Give us a love for You, because You have first loved us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Please stand. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each of you, both now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you.